I was having like debilitating migraines. They would send me home from school because I just couldn't operate. Then in my teens, I was just covered in acne, and it was so embarrassing. I never even considered that there was another way because nobody had ever told me, you know. It was just, this is the way. My diet was so terrible, you know, the standard American diet. It was just this almost very spiritual experience of like a friend coming back in my life. And she kind of like chased me down and she was like, I am going to help you get well.
Hi, everybody. This is Juhi here.
Hi, I'm Arjun. And today on the podcast,
we are welcoming Dr. Elderberry Salas.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. And it's an honor to have you.
And as I just want to introduce Dr. Elderberry as someone who is a healer, who listens beyond words, using ancient diagnostic arts and emotional mapping to uncover what the body truly needs. As a naturopath, homeopath, and vitalist herbalist, she blends wisdom, compassion, and handcrafted plant medicine to guide people towards genuine, lasting wellness. She is here to share her journey, her philosophy, and the power of listening to nature and ourselves. So welcome, Dr. Elderberry.
Thank you. Excited.
Dr. Elderberry, could you just talk about your journey? You've come so far and we are just intrigued to know about you.
Yeah, so I grew up in a very medical kind of household. Maybe, you know, kind of probably most of America is kind of like this, I guess. But I actually had a nurse for a mom. And so I was given every medical intervention you can possibly imagine when I was growing up. And so I was given, you know, all the vaccines, all, you know, if I even had like a sniffle, I remember I was given like some shots that would give you some kind of immune, you know, it was pharmaceutical. And I ended up really, really ill, you know, by the time that I was like, I remember by the time I was, well, now I have an 11-year-old, and by the time I was his age, I was having like debilitating migraines. They would send me home from school because I just couldn't operate. And then in my teens, I was just covered in acne, and it was so embarrassing. It was like, you know, I never even considered that there was another way because nobody had ever told me, you know. It was just, this is the way that it is. You go to the cabinet, you get out the stuff for the headache, and but also my diet was so terrible, you know, the standard American diet of like, my mom would go to like, I don't know if you guys have the Hostess store, like where there's like horrible little cakes and pies and things, but that was like ate for snacks and things. So now it's really interesting seeing like my son has like a totally different world. But I ended up so sick that I ended up having like, I think it was just this almost very spiritual experience of like a friend coming back in my life. And she was like, you really do not look well. And she kind of like chased me down to where I was working at the time in this little art supply store. And she was like, she lied and told everybody she was my mom and she needed to get a hold of me. And she had been studying naturopathy of all things. And she was like, I am going to help you get well. And she like chased me down with all these supplements and was like giving them to me. And my eyes got opened to a completely, you know, different reality. And at that point, I was pretty hooked. You know, she was also very into gemstones and things like that. And so I feel like in a way it was a very like spirit changing experience to where it was like, I was at a dead end. I was not going anywhere in that direction. And it's kind of like a reroute where she came in and I just never looked back. I became so obsessed with this world I'd never learned about. And then, you know, as a really broke college student, I became fascinated with what I could gather as far as plants that were around me that I didn't need to pay for. So that was kind of how I, you know, developed a love for the plants that were around me. And I launched an apothecary, a few of them actually, but the one that stuck was after my son was born. And I fell in love with it. And I fell in love with realizing that I didn't need the interventions that they were saying I needed for him. I could take care of him on my own, and that I didn't need to outsource my power. And that feeling was so, even like for small stuff, like his diapers, you know, like we did cloth diapering. So it was like, I don't need to spend thousands. Oh, cloth diapering. We're like, yeah. And so just so much wasn't, my power was all within what I had around me, you know, to raise him, and it still do. And so it's just been incredible to kind of follow my excitement and see where that has taken me, and see where that, it's almost like spirit leading me on with like, now you're excited about this and this and this. And then through that, I started to, when I launched my, not only the apothecary, but my clinic online after COVID, I didn't want to take people in person anymore. I didn't really want to mess with like masking and all this stuff. And so I realized that there was a lot of practitioners, people were coming to me and telling me about that they really don't have like a heart. They don't have, and even though they may be like a natural practitioner, and I hate to say it because like I don't want to be like against my own people in my profession, but I started to realize that there was just this like, here, let me read you off your list of what your blood test said. And then it was like, okay, that's good. Bye. And then they would hang up the phone. And I was hearing story after story after story of this, of people who would be like, this session with you was completely different. Like it really felt like you cared to hear what was going on with me. And I really started to realize that that was a rare thing. And I didn't know that. And so I started to be passionate about training people with what I do and reading the body rather than relying on like these mechanized versions of like new modern. It's very machine-like in today's day and age. And I wanted to see what like the old doctors, how are they helping people with like crazy things, you know, before like everybody had a hospital to go to. And I fell in love with that. And yeah.
I really, really, really resonate with what you're saying. And I'm so glad that you're one of the people we are interviewing.
Yeah.
And I'm just loving, I can already feel that I'm going to love this, what's coming ahead.
Mm.
But before we get there, I had a few follow-up questions, if you don't mind sharing. Going back to your childhood, you said you had migraines and acne. Was there anything else that was going on, if you don't mind just talking a little about it? And like how the friend that, she was more into spirituality, you said. So could you just talk more about that part, where what she used to do and how she helped you a little bit, if whatever you can, you're comfortable sharing?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think a big part of it too, not in like a sad way at all, because I think I've had so many experiences that have helped me grow, but I grew up in a very alcoholic home. So on the surface, it was like, we have a nice home, and like my family would like pretend that they were like happy on the outside. And people thought that like we had this great family, but it was like, it was so much unhappiness and like depression. And I did not receive any sort of love that, like, you know, it's crazy because now I can love on my son and like give him what I never had. And I think I am able to see that place because I never had it. But yeah, so that was kind of the underlying emotional tone of my household, and realizing that emotions and the, what, you know, the love that you're getting or what you're, you know, all these things really play into your health, especially now knowing a lot about homeopathy. It really makes sense to me, like the lack of love and the lack of care and what I was missing, but not realizing it. But also when she came into my life, I was just really broke. And so I didn't have a lot of money for supplementation in the first place, but it was like me realizing that there are ways that you can be healthy without really needing to pay a lot of money for it. Like going to a spring and getting spring water if it's close to you, or like, you know, so she gave me some supplements to do with like my digestion. And that was a big thing because I wasn't really eating very well. And so she was like helping me understand that, like, I remember, and she would take me out to lunch and we would be eating something that like probably wasn't super, super healthy, but it was healthier than what I was eating at the time. And she was like, she was adding in little bits of nuggets of information for me as I could digest it at the time. And that was really special to me looking back, because had she like poured everything into me all at once, I would have been like, that's too much. I don't really want it. Like too much. But she had given me, like, I was getting really bad headaches at the time as well. And she gave me some things I don't generally use in my clinic, but I thought were really cool. Like, I had questions about, like, digestive enzymes. And, you know, I can't really, but she kind of just, like, also would randomly send me some shipments of, like, a more natural soap or, like, you know, and I was like, what is this? This is so awesome. And everything kind of, like, smelled different and had, like, a natural kind of scent to it. And I just became so enamored with, like, then instead of, because I could only afford, like, small amounts of things, I was using coconut oil instead of lotion, or, like, and that was a big change, a big transition in, like, healing my skin. And
wow.
So it's like those basic foundational changes.
Yeah,
maybe exactly. Lifestyle, diet, and some supplements here and there. So was she the one who kind of introduced homeopathy and plants, that idea that got to you?
Not really. So I learned that when I actually went to naturopathy training. Mm-hmm. So I pretty much, like, I opened up my apothecary and I saved, like, every penny I had. And they introduced that to me very heavily in naturopathy training. But it was very surface level. It wasn't really how I got to understand it later. As homeopathy being a massive part of how I help people with, like, trauma healing and getting into deeper spirit layers of people, the plants kind of came to me, oddly enough. The plants were, I was so curious for some reason about them. And actually how I changed my name was through an elderberry plant really, like, being like, psst.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
That means
this is not your original name.
No. So I changed my name about 4 years ago now, legally. And so now it is my real name. People were already calling me Dr. Elderberry for a while before that. But I was like, I really want to embody this, you know, and it took a great amount of courage because a lot of people didn't like it. A lot of people in my life were not on board. And other people were like, yes, like, this is amazing. This is you at your core.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. So I'm going to do it anyway. A big thing that I love about my husband is he does not care what other people think. And he's like, what do you want to do? And so I love that. And that really stuck with me. But yes, so the elder plant, backtrack, the elder plant really showed me that I could communicate with plants. And that people have been doing that for millennia. It's really how...
You mean communication?
Communication, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Elderberry can help communicate.
Well, I feel like that was the entry point for me. Like, I almost felt like someone was saying, like, well, I was biking one day and I look over and there was that plant just sitting there staring at me. And I was like, I think this is an elderberry plant. Went home and researched it and went back and I was like, that is an elderberry plant. And I fell so in love and really realized that she's always been revered as the grandmother of the forest and has a great deal of folklore associated with that plant.
Hey, that's a beautiful name you have now.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is a great decision.
Yeah. And also with homeopathy, like, I always had this one confusion, like, it's definitely used for the physical symptoms, right? But as you said, also going into emotional healing and trauma healing, how does that happen?
Yeah, so I have had the really great fortune to be trained by some really amazing homeopaths from India, where homeopathy was never quite, like, stamped out. You know, here in the United States, we used to have, like, hospitals. There used to be, like, truly hospitals for medical emergencies. There were psychiatric wards that were treating people with homeopathy, and that just never died over there. And so they have it very much alive. They still have homeopathic hospitals and things over there. You can go for emergency treatment and choose what you want to have. And so I think that's so beautiful. But in particular, I gravitated towards a style that it really helps you understand the words someone is saying, what kingdom they're speaking from. And because in homeopathy, we don't only use plants. We get to use minerals. We get to use gemstones. We get to use animals, animal milks, feathers, bones, cartilage, things from animals. We get to, and I don't eat animals. So I find that, you know, what I love about homeopathy is that we get to use a very small part of this to use a large amount of product of remedies, or we can use plants, or we can use disease tissue. Like literally the creator of homeopathy spoke about watching people's personalities change through time from different diseases that were never dealt with properly through time. Like, for example, in the family line, if there's ever been somebody who had tuberculosis that was never treated properly, oftentimes now you'll see kids that we call hyperactive, or they have like attention deficit problems, or they want to run away because the feeling of tuberculosis is that it collapses the lungs. It makes you feel very tight and constricted, and you want to get out of that situation. So the kids through the family line feel very constricted by rules. They feel very limited. They feel they would rather escape and get out. So that oftentimes if you try to put them into a rule or a limitation, they will be like, no, and they will run away. And that they feel so trapped in that feeling. But so those are kind of the nosode miasm type feelings. But we can also use things like energies. We can use things like computer colors, G, sounds, different frequencies that are homeopathic remedies. And those are associated with the way someone is speaking about, for example, trying to give an example of from my clinic from recently. I had a really interesting case of a woman who needed the remedy plutonium. So the whole periodic table of elements in the mineral chart can be used as remedies. She had a really interesting case. I mean, this was a really complex case, but she started to become really sensitive to the sun, to the point to where when she met with me, she had like created a face covering for herself with like little eye slits. And she had to spend a great deal of time boarding up her room throughout the day because she would go get some food, have to come back. And even the sun through her windows was like burning her skin. And so
she had this since the beginning, or was it something she developed?
She developed it. Yeah. And so it started to just become her whole daily environment. And she would say things that were very non-human. So the things that we say that sound non-human would be like, for example, in the mineral kingdom, we are missing a lack of structure. So we'll talk about our lack of capacity, like we're breaking apart, or we need that capacity. We need something that we're lacking within ourselves. And we'll use stone or like in calceria, that's also shares like an animal quality with shells. So calcium, they'll need to go back in a shell. They'll talk about, I like putting my hood up, or he likes putting his hood up because it makes him feel protected. Or whenever anything happens to me, I just want to run back to safety and that's kind of like a shell, like what an oyster would do. So for her, it was her inner feelings were very much explosive, almost like a radioactive remedy. She would use terms of like, if I could just let everything go that's inside of me, like I would just let it rip, and it would just like, then bad things would happen. Suddenly it would explode out of me. And that's very non-human type speak. Humans don't explode. Humans don't let it rip, you know? And so listening for the terms people are saying, and very much when I was thinking about my childhood, I was thinking about like abandonment issues are also very easily covered by animal milks in terms of how somebody's speaking about it. Like, for example, I get a lot of women that are pulled to me who have guilt and shame and self-worth issues, and they don't act very much like a wild animal in terms of their feelings. They act very domesticated. They like being at home. They like and so that's very dog milk type. There's called a milk called lac caninum in homeopathy. I've given it to many, many women for that self-confidence, almost like you can treat a dog so terribly, like they attract these relationships where the men treat them so terribly and they just keep going back. Like, oh, love me, you know, like, and then they treat them so, but love me, please, you know, and the man never changes, but they don't realize like they're just seeking that love that they never got, that abandonment place.
Yeah. And it also comes from a place where maybe you're fulfilling someone else's self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Mm.
Because if you are going to that kind of a man who's not treating you well, that means that guy wanted, that's something that's lacking in within him. So, and you are fulfilling that for him. So it's always like the both the partners, right?
Yeah, like so we're pulling to ourselves constantly.
Exactly
what we need to grow. Yeah. So whether or not we go through that initiation to grow, and that could be where they need somebody like me, they feel it inside of their heart to pull, like that's the puzzle piece for them to grow. Or they need somebody else, you know, like somebody else's vibe will help, like some other type of craniosacral or whatever it is that they need. But I feel like we feel when we pull to ourselves, like we have that full body yes of like, oh my gosh, like I, whenever I have people who come to me and they're like, I just knew, like the second I landed on your page, like you were exactly what I needed. And, you know, that initiation then starts in a different direction because they're given those remedies, which are a different vibrational imprint. Like, I can't remember, I think it was Einstein or somebody who said, like, we can't heal from the same vibration that like where the problem started.
Yes.
We need that different vibration to like chink into place and carry on that different.
Yeah.
So whenever someone comes to you, you're thinking energy. You're thinking, what are they going through? Maybe what's gone through in their life and how they are reacting to their situation. And then I think even the components that you just mentioned that you use in homeopathy, right? Is that the thing? It's like tinctures or pills, homeopathic pills, right?
Yeah. So that's one aspect of what I do. Homeopathy is like the little white granules, the little white pills, if you've ever had those before. Herbal tincture is what I'm doing also. So I do a myriad. I do like three core basic things. But with herbalism, this is kind of where a lot of practitioners fall short. They don't do this anymore. They don't understand what herbalism was meant to do, which is treat what I call and what have been called through time tissue states. So we are either hot, cold, damp, dry, tense, or relaxed. There are six tissue states. And when you look at someone's tongue, when you look at their eyes, you really get a deep understanding of like, is this child just that's running around and driving everybody crazy? Are they just really overheated? Is there too much heat in their system? Because hot things has a lot of energy. If you think of like water in a pot, a boiling pot, it has so much energy to it. It's like it has the cells are moving so quickly, and that happens within a person. And so it messes with heat, rises, and it messes with our mind. And so in back in time, they used to call this vapors. And they would oftentimes say this for women. Women had vapors. And so they were like hysterical. But it really, it's liver heat or whatever organ it is rising and agitating the mind. So when you cool someone down, you give cooling remedies, they act like a different person.
So, with like, as you just mentioned about herbalism, how did you get this amalgamation of homeopathy and herbalism? And how did you know where there was a demarcation? Like there was a distinction between the two, and you can give both of them and still have a unified effect in the body.
I always treat the tissue state first in the person because I really realize that's the underlying, like from their tongue. I realize that's really the underlying what the cells are doing, what's going on at a, like a cellular level. And so when that is treated first, I often notice that herbalism doesn't quite reach into that spirit level sometimes. Like there's a deeper, if I really get the sense, some people just know this about me already, like before they come to me because they were, somebody told them to come to me. And so they know that I work very much almost like a therapist in that regard. Like if there's deeper issues at hand, I'm asking questions to number one, help them realize that because the realization alone, like continuously mirroring that back to them is so important.
It's healing, I would say.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, that's showing up in this part of your life. Did you notice? And then I'll just, instead of even saying, do you notice? I'll be like, well, what about this? And then they'll go, oh my gosh, wait. And it'll just be like, it's this moment. That's so cool. And so that's for me is if there's leftover things that are deep, I use homeopathy, but also there's some things that herbalism doesn't quite touch so well. Like I use almost exclusively for like babies and pregnant women for no matter what it is, I use homeopathy.
Okay.
the physical state, I will use homeopathy because it's so gentle. Like, I don't really need to worry about it creating an issue of any kind, or like the baby not wanting to take nasty tasting herbs. Homeopathy is so easy because it tastes good.
Following up with one of the things that you mentioned previously about the assessment, how do you assess the person? How do you know where the problem is without using, I mean, I'm not sure if you use labs or not, but just can you talk a little about that?
Yeah. So when people stick out their tongue, I wish I could show you guys a tongue map right now, but there's different places on the tongue that where the organs correlate. And whether or not that the, that's like, for example, if the tongue is pale, you would know right away they've got some kind of a like problem, either with the body isn't mounting a response for the blood to be up in the body. Like that's usually a hypothyroid type state. Like they have the blood, but there's no energy behind it to mobilize it. Or are they anemic? Something like that. And then I show my students, so I'm showing my students in my academy this right now to do with the organ systems as we go. I'm showing them people's eyes and their tongues, and we're using each other as cases. But to do with different patterns, the tongue will look different. The shape of the tongue matters, the color of the tongue, whether there's cracking in different areas, or even if it kind of like looks like a bowl in certain areas and it scoops out, it's all part of a pattern to where those organ systems correlate in the body. And it's like, once you see it, you can't unsee it, especially in people's faces. Even I read the face. Like, for example, I just had a friend tell me that her uncle passed away, and he passed away very suddenly, like while he was mowing the grass. And they think he had a heart attack. And I said, well, can I see his face? And he had a very, like the tip of the nose is the heart area on the face. He had a very blown up, nobody kind of like paid attention to that, but his nose was very large, and that's congested. The heart was congested for quite a while.
Yeah, and actually, hearkening to that, my father also got a stroke recently. And I did see his tongue because even I'm a herbalist, so I saw a lot of purple.
Yeah.
Purple and blue. So with Yarrow, of course, it helped, and a lot of like blood-moving herbs.
Yeah,
so beautiful. I totally understand.
Even like here on the fatty parts of the palm, you can see different colors from people. But then I also look at the eyes. The iris of the eye tells, you know, the darkening, the darker the color of the iris, the more degenerative the problem in that zone. So there's different zones on the iris that correlate with different organ systems. And I look at the iris after the tongue to see kind of what's the picture that's I'm not seeing on the tongue. Like, for example, you can really see if there's leaky gut and things like that on the eyes. It'll be like spokes on the, like almost like bicycle spokes radiating out from the pupil. There's so many things that people who are just practicing homeopathy and just going by symptoms can miss because they're not reading the body. So this is like kind of my big passion, is helping people remember, like, we need to read the body. Like, it's all there if we just kind of pay attention. Yeah.
Also, I just wanted to mention this one thing. Like, the way I look at it is that every tissue, every cell in the body regenerates itself, right? I mean, technically, there's tissue turnover that's taking place time to time. And that differs for everything, like whether it's like formation of new bone or like new tissue in the heart or whatever it is. So if the body is not repairing itself, like technically, even the gut lining should regenerate after some time. But if it's not happening, that means there is something keeping it from happening.
Yeah.
So can you just shed a little light on that? Like, because in my head, it's just logical to think something is stopping it, but what is stopping it? And recently, there has been some information that's been surfacing that at the core of it, there are emotions, and also there are like parasites and viral activations. Could you just talk a little about that, or what do you feel, or what do you think, or what has been your experience working with people?
Yeah, so according to the tissue states, a lot of times if something, the blood and the fluids are not getting where they need to go, that tends to be what she was talking about, is the areas where there's stagnation. So it's too cold in there. Like, for example, we give, as herbalists, a lot of time, we give like fire cider to come and like fiery herbs to come warm up the chest with upper respiratory infections. And that actually moves blood to a very stagnant area. So the immune cells couldn't get in because this blood and everything is kind of just sitting and it's damp. It's too damp. And so when we move that blood in there and we give things that are like aromatic type herbs, they move stagnation, they move dampness. And so when we can move that tissue state, then finally the immune cells can come in and heal. But sometimes too, it could be the tissue state. People are too dry. Like for example, I just had a little boy. His mother was talking to me at the park yesterday and I said, have him stick out his tongue for me. And he found it so fascinating and funny. But his tongue was so dry and so hot. And when something is so dry, there's no fluids getting in there for that repair. There's not enough blood. There's not enough immune cells because of just simple dryness. Well, people could also be tense. Like for example, in the bowels, if somebody's tensing up in an area, you also, like if you imagine holding on and constricting a hose, you can't get the fluids in there either. So it's just really reading what state are they in, what tissue state, because it could be, we want to like, you know, as people that post on Instagram, it's like so hard because you want to post about like, this is an overarching theme and give everybody like all the tools, but it's like, darn it, it's so individual. It really is. And so it's like, you know, it's, are you hot? Are you cold? Are you damp? Are you too dry? What's going on? And then definitely emotions play a part. So for sure, like even iridologists will note that the leaking in the tissues often corresponds with this negative self-talk, negative thinking. And so they'll even call it the self-protective iris because this person has had to protect themselves through time. So they develop a negativity that kind of then it's circling around and possibly constantly creating this problem. Who knows if parasites are attracted to a certain vibrational state within a person, like negativity, but they definitely love when everything's stagnant and it's not moving because they can multiply and, you know, that's a really good environment for also candida dampness. Candida loves like that. It's warm and it's damp and it's sitting there and I can spread and like, yeah.
Do you think that at times working on the emotional level can actually come close to resolving a certain issue?
Yeah. So I was going to touch on this just a second ago, but I was trained for a really long time by a really amazing energy worker. And so what I tend to do is, without even realizing it, is I kind of like have the person before me in my mind and I can kind of get a picture for the pattern of what's going on. But even with talking about people or talking with somebody and how they're speaking, definitely it's really cool with homeopathy that they watch people so intensely for provings on those remedies. So we get a really good idea of that person's whole emotional profile to do with a remedy. Like for example, the remedy Pulsatilla, like this woman is, it's more of a woman type remedy. And she can't digest fats and all these things. But the big picture is she's like crying at the drop of a hat. She needs you to be there to console her. She feels so like alone if she's has to take on any experience on her own. She like needs you to constantly reassure her and is weeping through like telling you all the time. And like, it's almost like as soon as you see a Pulsatilla person, it's like, okay, I know exactly. Yeah. But you start to see the patterns after so long of like, they just start talking and they'll tell you like, I really need my husband to always constantly like, you know, I'm surprised that he like handles it so well, but I always need him to reassure me and just hold me. And it's like, okay, that's very Pulsatilla like. And usually when you can match them with not just the emotional, but the physical, and that goes in with one remedy, that's a really powerhouse moment. It's like, this remedy is going to work really well.
So yeah. Also, you also like to combine a lot of flower essences, right? Because then again, it's emotions, right? So how do you even integrate that into your practice, or how do you, you know, okay, you know, there are these emotions, so I have these particular homeopathic remedies for that, but at the same time I have superb flower essences that are going along with this person. So you also integrate it, or you just do one thing at a time?
Yeah, I've almost never do one thing at a time. I kind of like the fast track for people because I noticed that a lot of homeopaths will give one remedy and tell people to wait for like 2 years, which I think is a really long time.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people know that, but I've had moms and things who have come to me who've said, well, he still has his crazy full body eczema that keeps him up at night and he can't sleep. But the homeopath told me it's been 2 years. Maybe that's just not long enough. And I'm like, no, I think we should probably switch gears at this point and see if we can get his eczema healed. But when I bring in flower essences, it's not as often as one may think, oddly enough. But I do, like, for example, I just did one for a little girl who was stuttering and had a lot of fear. I gave the mimosa flower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I do it for a lot of children and pregnant women. So that tends to be where, like, I do the softer remedies for sure. Or, like, people really need it for their animals. I don't treat a lot of animals, but, like, I've seen homeopathy work so well with animals. Like, when I brought in my cat, you know, it's so beautiful. So, yeah, people and animals that need that soft medicine.
Yeah, because it was something even I got in my dreams as a crab apple flower.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's more about cleanliness, as they say, but I feel it was about always listening to your parents. And then if you're not doing according to what they said, I would feel guilty in myself that why didn't I do what they are saying? And I'm walking my own path. Mm-hmm. So a lot of inhibitions. So I think it really helped me with that and that encouragement to again go out and do my practice, do this as an herbalist that I always wanted to do. So I totally get that. Like sometimes you just get it. If you're intuitive or you try to, or other times you have amazing practitioners like yourself.
No, thank you. Yeah, I think it's just continuously following your passion about it. And like, you know, one thing that really helps you stay humble is the clients that they didn't get better when you didn't help them. Like it keeps you constantly on your toes and constantly wanting to help and constantly changing your approach. Because one thing that really like irks me is I see people on Instagram who just send people like a report, like they just read their iris and they send them a report. Well, when you do that, you don't get the feedback that whatever you recommended didn't work.
Yeah.
You don't get the feedback from somebody in real time who writes you and says, get helped in some areas, but this other one I really still need help in. And that's when you're like, okay, let's go. Let's keep going deeper, you know? And it's like, I probably will never get to the bottom of fully understanding it, but I'm sure going to try. And that's my clients who are really helping me continuously want to grow. It really is humbling though. It's like, I'm not the best ever. I'm just trying to try.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you acknowledging that fact in itself, I think is a big thing because I think most of the times people are a bit arrogant about it.
Hmm.
As practitioners, and you have to have that humility and humbleness when you're working in alternative medicine as well, because that's where people need that real support and emotional care and nursing in a way.
Yeah. Well, also to realize like, it's not me. I'm literally just a bridge. And then these remedies are doing all the work. Like I'm just here to listen.
Yeah.
And if I can listen the best possible way I can, then I can just be that bridge. And those plants and those remedies are doing all that work. It's not, I didn't do any heavy lifting, you know.
But you're the vessel. You're the vessel for that.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, here you go. Yeah.
I had two quick questions about homeopathy.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is, does coffee or tomatoes or anything related cause an issue or blocks the effects of homeopathy?
They say it does. I mean, have I ever really tested it out? No, but I just tend to tell people, like, if you can spread it out, like from peppermint, like eating food of any kind, and then, you know, coffee by 15 minutes, I feel like that you're pretty safe if you don't just like chase it with the coffee. I don't know. They say that in the different repertories, they'll talk about, like, I always have stacks of books near me. My husband calls me Hermione from Harry Potter because I'm always going to bed with a big repertory. But they'll talk about different ones that they know are antidoted by coffee. And like, you know, so I just say play it safe for people because like you spent the money on it. let's just, if you can wait 15 minutes, why not?
Yeah, that's the least. I was just thinking maybe because there are some practitioners who say no coffee at all, no tomatoes at all, as long as you're taking it.
Yeah, and so people I think that's pretty intense.
Yeah, that's intense.
Because then, like, you quit the coffee and you probably have then, like, caffeine withdrawal and then you're feeling terrible. And so it's man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
another
intense
pattern. Yeah.
And the second question I had was, can homeopathy, because I understand that herbs in an acute illness, cannot be used, or one has to be really careful because, you know, there are a lot of drugs, pharmaceuticals that are being administered and they could intervene. They could, there's always herb drug interactions. But homeopathy, is it the same like herbalism, like herbs, or is it much more convenient to use in an acute stage to support? I'm not saying not to take pharmaceuticals, but along with pharmaceuticals. Is it okay, or are there interactions as well?
I'd say there's probably interactions on every level. Like, I have a really good example of when my husband had a tooth that needed a root canal, or he didn't get the root canal, he got it pulled. And it was like really sudden. And, you know, it's one of those, like, that hurts really, really bad. So he immediately went to go take the homeopathic form of St. John's wort, thinking it would help the nerves. Well, then he really badly, before they could get him in, over the next 2 days to pull the tooth, and I have other kids who this happens to as well, we don't really have anything that covers that great deal of amount of pain, as sad as that is in natural medicine. Like, I'm sure back in the day they were using crazy, I don't even know, but here we just don't have something that touches on something as well as like ibuprofen. So like when you're in massive amounts of pain and you can't even sleep, like it's okay to reach for, you know, in the emergency situation, it's okay to reach for something like ibuprofen. But he took the St. John's wort, and because that's so good at detoxifying drugs from the liver, it made it not work. So he was stuck in pain for like 2 days while none of the other remedies were working, because St. John's wort is like, it's just doing its job and it's cleansing out the liver and it's taking that load. What I do when people are on different medications is, number one, I already only give drop doses of herbs. Like, I'm a very homeopathic type herbalist. I gently move the tissues rather than like, you know, boom, like to, like hitting it. Like, we're gonna massively hit this body. That creates less drug interactions. And that also is so much more gentle moving that person along rather than like possibly having these reactions. And then it's also really easy to tell when it is one of the herbs creating the reaction. I tend to pull to myself a lot of people who are not on medication, though. I tend to pull to myself the person who's like, they are the herbalist. They have the apothecary sitting behind them, but they just need, I pull to myself really advanced people who need help in that place because they know I'm not going to judge. Like, I'm just going to be there. And I'm just gonna listen. And so it's like the person who almost feels bad because they are already a practitioner, but they can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that became me, but that became me. Yeah. And I think it was just the way I was talking on social media. It was, I never kind of like marketed to the beginner. Yeah. I've always kind of like spoken from my level. And so those people are like, okay, I think I want her to help me. But yeah, drug interactions are interesting. And I generally just don't give herbs that I know mess with the liver at all, because I mean, ultimately, I kind of want to help them get off the drugs anyway.
Yeah.
And kind of, I'm always the person who, like, I'm looking up what they're on and I'm looking up the list of the pamphlet from inside of the drugs they are getting. And I'm like, you came to me for like dry eyes and headaches, but did you know that that's the side effect of the medication that you're on? Just checking. checking. So sometimes just even pointing out to them that it could be that they don't need anything. They might just need help getting off of that and tweaking what's going on. A lot of times I see that the problems they have basically are from the medications they're on.
Yeah.
Side effects.
And also with heavy metals. Right. I mean, this is also a very pressing question because nowadays everybody is doing a lot of heavy metal detoxing.
Yeah.
So how do you know, or how do you decipher that it was this particular metal that was causing the issue?
Well, I generally know from a lot of experience that parents often know and people often know what they've never been well since. So, you know, this may be where you do want to do a heavy metal test to see if like you are eating a food or something that's really, really high. This is why I love the work of like LeadSafe Mama online. She does like a lot of, she sends off products for heavy metal testing and then reports it for everybody to see, even like toothpastes and stuff like that. And we generally have a high amount of lead, cadmium, arsenic, and mercury in our food and in our supplements now. So there's generally those four. But whenever I see somebody can flip up the underside of their tongue, and so on these two veins on the underneath of their tongue, you will, with heavy metal toxicity, you'll generally see they have a great deal of blood stagnation underneath the tongue. I'm not sure why it shows that way, but it does. And then they'll often be like, it was this vaccine, this blah, blah. And then you can detoxify the vaccine homeopathically. You can give that in a tautopathic version that then clears the body. Yeah. Yeah. So what I do is the tautopathic version of these metals. And generally, because we're exposed to so many, I just give like a polymetal clear. So it has all of these heavy metals in it that are really dangerous to the body, because it's not like we're just getting one now. Like, who knows what's being sprayed from the sky and whatever else, like aluminum and all of these things. And so I would rather be like not just doing one. I'd rather have it be a great amount. And then they also have, for kids who've gotten all the vaccines, you can do that in it. Like a poly clear, you can do all the vaccines and clear that with homeopathy as well.
Okay.
It's one of the most beautiful parts of homeopathy, in fact, I feel like, because I've seen so many people actually do the tests afterwards and show that their levels went down. And I didn't like order the tests. They just wanted to do them. And their levels were like through the roof in mercury or something. And then boom, their levels are down. It's pretty amazing. Yeah. Or kids start talking that stop talking after a vaccine, or they suddenly are like, are, you know, interacting, they're walking, things that are just, and then you know why it's not on mainstream.
Oh, yeah.
And HPV.
Yeah.
That's also not there. Yeah.
Yeah. So even that vaccine is in there, can do a clear for the HPV vaccine, which is really dangerous.
Hmm.
Even HPV, I've never had a case that didn't respond to herbalism. I've had 100% success with HPV. And the weird thing was, I tried posting about it on YouTube and showing people what I do, and they every single time took it down. If you even put the words HPV, the only narrative on YouTube is, here's your shots, here's how you clear it with shots. But they don't let any other narrative. I've gotten my YouTube, like, they've given me slaps on the wrist so many times. I think if I make one more wrong mistake. So now I just call all of my, I just call them all like numbers or random things whenever I post on YouTube. It's like, I can't actually say the word. It's really crazy. Yeah, I have to like code, and then they'll put bots in there that will like pick out the word vaccine and it will flag you. So it's really intense.
Yeah, and actually even I got like one of my very first cases was on HPV. So, of course, I mean, she was successful in eliminating that. So, it's really interesting to see something that is so widespread. Of course, you have vaccinations, but it's not working. You have medications, it's not working. And people are just, they don't know what to do. They are so helpless. And also, the backlash you're getting from the doctor after seeing the vaginal tissue during the examination, he said, it's getting better, but don't do what you're doing. Why? Why shouldn't I continue? It's making me feel healthy. I'm feeling good down there. What's your problem? He's like, because I'm not sure about your woo-woo thing or whatever you're doing.
Yeah, like, I don't know, so then don't do it.
And exactly.
They were kind of trained also, like, this is dangerous territory because it's not regulated by XYZ. Yeah. And we all know the reasons it's not regulated.
Yeah.
But I think in a way it's good that it's not regulated, because if they would have tried to regulate it, they would have tried to eliminate it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've run into the same thing with my academy, you know, with licensure and all of this, you know, certifications and things like that. They want people who are very cookie cutter, who have been trained in a particular way that will also give pharmaceuticals in this, or they can take away your license if you're not doing that. So they want people who are doing certain things by the book to have the licenses, you know, because then they can say, slap you on your wrist and I'm taking away your license and you can't practice anymore. So I've kind of like been a renegade in that regard over the past like few months of really realizing how to get people licensed in the United States under private trusts, under so that we can be protected, but that it doesn't have anything to do with state regulations. And so it's really crazy when you kind of realize how everything's been set up to just continuously be about control and money.
Yes.
And it's like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling that our future is going to be bright because, mm-hmm. you know, there are multiple timelines and realities.
Yes.
And I think that it's for sure based on how we are from within and what kind of outlook we are having and how our actions are and our thoughts are, mm-hmm. we are going to align more and more to that mm-hmm. reality where things are more the way we feel it yep. currently.
Yeah, that's why I just was like, I'm not going to complain about this anymore. I'm just going to create the difference.
Yeah,
I don't. And somewhere, you know, the way I also look at it and the way I've learned to look at it, although it's not perfect, I'm not going to be like perfect about it all the time thinking that manner. I am a human and I also tend to be negative at times. But uh-huh. generally, I feel on the larger scale, those the darkness, that side that is going against the light. They are doing a huge favor for us. Because imagine if there wouldn't have been darkness, wouldn't have realized what light is. If you would have been always in the light. And always, whenever there is resistance, whenever there is any kind of struggle, we grow, you know, we receive wisdom. And I think somewhere they are doing humanity a favor.
Yeah.
By suppressing us, they are helping us to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. I teach this to my son all the time. It's like just that great story. It's like this, just everything is just a really grand story, just a really grand experience. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, light or darkness is all part of one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So also speaking again, coming back to homeopathy, I want to know about cell salts. This is something really interesting. And it is, you can take it with your medications. And it's, I think it's a very structural type of medicine with cell salts. What do you think? What's your take on that?
Yeah, I tend to use them a little less than I probably should. I think that it's almost like the version of homeopathy where they're trying to move the tissues. It's like they're trying to do the tissue state model, and I really use herbalism for that. And they call herbalism and homeopathy organotherapy because it's tailored to the organ systems. And I found that so funny. But I use it mainly in the 12 combination because I've noticed that whenever I tried to just give them piecemeal, they didn't work as well as I had hoped.
Mm-hmm.
But I use most of them. Like, for example, they always say, like, give these different cell salts for cavities and things like that. I have tried that ad nauseum and noticed that it actually is more about if these people are getting exposed to tons of glyphosate or if they're getting, like, for example, the kids who live next to fields that are being sprayed constantly are the ones with the worst cavities. And so there's a little bit more to the picture. I've definitely seen a lot of really cool stuff with like calc floor, like with strengthening connective tissues and things. But I tend to be like, if we're going to take one of them, why not take all of them? Because they all work really synergistically and beautifully for the body. And I think I never kind of developed that homeopathic mindset where like you need to only take one. Like, it never really quite made sense to me. Whenever you read about all of them, they're all doing a different function. So like one of them is like helping the vents of the skin to keep open and keep toxins flowing out of the skin. Another one's working with the gastrointestinal tract, and this one's working on a different system. And I'm like, man, I'm just going to take them all then. But I have worked with them for connective tissue disorders with calc floor, calc floss, and things like that, especially for kids who weren't growing super well, like they had brain tumors or stunted growth due to one, like low pituitary function or hypothalamus function, something like that. Yeah.
Okay, lovely. Yeah. So also with animals, like you don't like to work with animals, or is it something that you haven't explored yet?
Yeah, I just haven't really explored it yet. I think it'd be really cool to, like, you know, meet somebody and hear their story on, like, helping animals. I mean, I have a cat who I have helped, and it's been really super magical to witness, because she at one point got a UTI somehow. And okay. There was actually on, like, a regular normal site where you can purchase, like, her cat food was also, like, this homeopathic formula for UTI. So wow. Just over a couple of days was just squirting that in her mouth, and she's never had an issue again. And that was after taking her to the vet, and they were like, we're going to have to give her all of these antibiotics and all of these things. And I was like, I don't really think so. I just took her home, and I was like, didn't need any of that.
Is it the same working with animals and humans, or is it different?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's probably a little bit harder to, like, really discover what their personality type is and all of that. But I just knew my cat was a little bit more on the skittish side. Like, she, you know, I could kind of get a sense. But people who do it with, like, horses and all of these things, like, that is a whole different realm than what I'm, you know, I think that's so cool. But I'm never around horses, so, like, I don't get the opportunity to, like, know anything about that. So, yeah. But definitely, I mean, I've heard so many stories as well about people treating animals, and it's, like, incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah, and I think they're more receptive as well, right? So they're emotionally more open, and I feel it just happens with them very fast. And also they absorb owners' feelings as well and whatever they are going through.
I've heard that, especially the cat's purr also. Yeah. It clears the energy field, something.
And it all broken bones.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I feel like I see that in animals and kids, you know. One of the biggest things that I see is that oftentimes even with kids, so I can imagine with animals as well, you really need to treat the parents too, because the parents are a huge part of the environment for them, and the parents of the animals as well, like, for sure. I think if we're treating animals, we should know how to treat people.
On those lines, not exactly about animals, but speaking of parents and kids and generations, there's like something called as ancestral trauma or generational trauma or energy emotions that are passed down or that runs in the ancestry. Is there something also you look at?
Yeah. So that's actually when I touched a little bit in the beginning on miasms, that was like a huge part of the work of the man who created homeopathy, Samuel Hahnemann. He called them miasms. So it was like unresolved issues through time. He actually thought they were diseases people carried on. But I've also seen that it's like addictions people carry on, or like patterns of coping with what, you know, if they never felt loved, or, for example, different ways people kind of deal with things when it comes to their imbalanced state. Like, generally we'll see through, like, if I just had a little girl and then her grandpa came to me and then her mom came to me and they were all overheated. And it was, and of course, it's also like the foods and things they're eating and their environment, but they all kind of had similar behavioral patterns. So I found that really fascinating. Like, they all kind of responded in the same way. And so I definitely see that, like, personality traits pass on, but it's also, you're in the collective soup as a child. Like, you're constantly hanging out with mom and dad's, like, light and dark aspects. So it's like, you know, sometimes whenever there is a child who comes to me with, like, a lot of anxiety, I often ask, like, okay, no judgment, but how are you dealing with the, like, how are you parenting? What's going on? Like, when you're imbalanced, mom, how is that looking? And is mom yelling a lot? Like, and is that, like, causing a lot of the anxiety? And mom needs help because her nervous system is burned out. She's got really too much heat in the liver and she can't stop yelling. Like, we need to kind of figure out, because the anxiety probably won't go away for the kid if, like, that's his point. Like, there needs to be a little bit more softness, a little bit more, like, being held in that, like, little fragile person's world. Yeah.
I think that's the reason why I personally love and prefer herbs, and I think homeopathy also works on the same level, and even flower senses and so on. And I think comparatively, those things can do so much more than what a magnesium supplement can do. For example, you know, I
have
this. He is a bit against supplements.
Let me give you what goes in my head, which is everything has energy fields, right? Everything has energy fields. So instantly my mind thinks, what kind of an energy field does this white powder have? Any supplement that's generated in the lab. And if a drug, a pharmaceutical drug, is also a white powder that's made in a lab, then how is it different from this supplement?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, they all are certain aspects of the plant or whatever component. There's just components, right? They're just isolated compounds.
Yes.
So what's the difference between a pharmaceutical and a supplement? I understand that it's working, but what else is it doing that I'm not understanding, that we can't see, that we can't understand? Because one thing is clear, the body is so complex, not just physically, but energetically, that we haven't yet decoded it completely. And there's a lot more that's going on that we don't understand. In fact, I feel that there are so many bacterias and so many colonies, and I don't think we have come close to an understanding how they react to compounds, these compounds that are put in. For sure, elements from nature, you know, are well understood, and energies from nature are well understood, but something that's created in a lab, how are the bacteria treating it?
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. I do. And that's why I launched my Naturopathic Academy, actually, is because I just got so tired of seeing people who are handed just these really expensive, like tons of supplements. And then they still came to me and said, this really didn't work. I feel the same. Or it was like, it actually made me worse. Or like, now I just, you know, so burnt out from, I did $3,000 worth of medical testing with them, blood testing, then had to buy like this $1,100 worth of supplements from them. And it's because the practitioners get kickbacks from that. And that's really sad, because it's like, yes, we want to make money with what we're doing, but also I fully feel that as well. Like these lifeless supplement bottles where you're trying to do what? Like, if we could give like a nourishing herbal infusion instead to build somebody up with minerals, instead of like, you need this one, you need this one, you need this one, like, or put a little bit of sea salt in our water, or like things that are whole, that have that wholeness to them, is, to me, shifts the state so much better and the body responds so much better without these side effects, because you took it out of its original thing.
Yeah.
And so anything that we do that's isolated like that is going to cause a problem. Because what I realize about supplements is, if you're taking these isolated supplements, they have, oftentimes they need cofactors to help the body to absorb. So what happens is you lose other vitamins that you're not supplementing with, and it doesn't make any sense over time. It's like, it really often does go back to like, people just make a lot of money, sadly, with it. And maybe some people do feel better over the short term, but there's still that inner tissue state that isn't resolved. Like, this is the weirdest thing to me, is like, sometimes homeopaths hit on a remedy that worked really well, but you'll see like over time it will become more apparent that the tissue state wasn't resolved. So they can kind of slip back really easily into a problem. So it's kind of like that with the supplements as well. Like, you took the supplement, you might feel really good, but it's easy to slip back into your imbalanced state.
It's always keeping you on the edge.
That's
so if you go over that, then you'll come back to your old patterns.
You find it really funny that I studied functional medicine for 3 years, and I ended up not doing it, because when I finished it, I felt, why are not people getting well? Why are they still on the edge? It's not making sense. And somehow I was drawn to this world of the mind, of energies, of emotions, and always thinking that, no, it's not connecting. It's not connecting. Why are they two separate things?
Yes.
And the moment I started delving more into, even, for example, Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt in his work, and some other people like Cindy Dale, and some awesome people that I saw on Dolores Cannon as well. There's a story behind that as well. I wanted to do, so she has this QHHT. I don't know if you're aware of Dolores Cannon and QHHT. So there's quantum healing hypnosis technique. And that was one that Dolores Cannon had developed. And I really felt a pull towards it, because I felt I heard stories. And I remember we used to travel. At that time, we used to host workshops and all in Madrid. And so we used to there's a train running between Valladolid and Madrid, which is like 50 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And during those 50 minutes, I used to indulge in her content. And I have an old iPad. And one day, when we got home, of course, the iPad is old, so the battery is not that great. I mean, it was like 20%. And of course, it's silent over here. No noise, pin drop silence. The iPad was in my bag. We just kept the bag. We freshened up and we just went to bed. Morning, I woke up. I stepped out of my room and I saw her content was playing on my iPad. I heard it. I'm sorry. I heard that. And I was like, what? How is this happening? And then later that day, I recollected a day before I had asked this question because I heard from some of her students that she had actually communicated with them in their dreams or through electronics. But I couldn't fathom that that could happen to me. But I said, would it hurt to ask, hey, Dolores, if you're listening, give me a sign if this is something that I should also be doing.
Wow.
And she gave me a sign. And I later realized it was a sign.
Wow.
Because it's impossible. When we went to bed that night, it wasn't playing, pin drop silence. Plus, on top of that, the iPad battery is just 20%. It wouldn't have lasted if it would have been playing the whole night. How come that just that time and how did it automatically start?
I love that.
So that really intrigued me. And I took up something called as Beyond Quantum BQH, Beyond Quantum Healing. That is a friend of Dolores actually did that because basically in QHHT, you're not allowed to do sessions online. But of course, I didn't stick to it. What I learned, I grew like as I did sessions with people. And I learned and I heard Dr. Joe Dispenza and breathing techniques from Wim Hof and Greg Braden about the heart-mind coherence and also about, you know, the importance of being in an elevated state. Whatever I'm doing evolved so much. So like I call it like mind expansion now. And as I did more of these sessions, now this one story I'll tell you. And that got me completely questioning whatever I did with functional medicine. That's the reason why I'm telling this to you. This changed my entire life once again. I did this session with this one lady, and the moment she entered that state, and the first thing I communicated with her self that was prior to her birth, which was not a human, it was an extraterrestrial from another planet. Now it sounds crazy. I spoke to it and I was like, I don't believe it. What? How? Why? And I had long conversation with this person. And I even, of course, whatever question that lady had given me to ask that, you know, she wanted the solutions for, she got all the answers. In fact, very legit answers. They'll go to this person, talk to this person, blah, blah, blah. But the most crazy part was this extraterrestrial said, you know what? I chose this lineage because this family lineage has a very nice, clean DNA, which is mostly disease-free. And the reason why I came on this earth is not to suffer. That's not my goal. My goal is to do this ABC thing.
Wow.
And so I can see there is a precancerous skin issue. And let me just get rid of it. I said, yeah, sure. And I didn't think anything about it. And I got a message from this client of mine a week, 10 days later, saying that my precancerous skin condition is now gone.
Wow.
And that was it. I questioned everything. And that's the reason why I find it very hard to even comprehend that supplements can actually do the thing. I feel there's some placebo play out here. And there might be some rapid relief going on. But I don't know what's happening long term. And somehow, when I take supplements, it don't work. I mean, it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, because he's already have this well-formed conditioned mindset, right, around supplements.
Uh-huh.
For me, I'm more balanced that way. I take in all the sites and I am okay. You know, this will help me at a time when I most need it. So I don't restrict myself that way. But I believe in everything but to a limit. Except my own herbalism and the plants, I really feel that calling. But yes. What he's saying, it's totally beyond.
Yeah. And so now she has taken up all my notes and she did some functional medicine. And we sometimes have fights among ourselves. And I was like, that's not necessary. You don't understand. There's so much about energy going on. Labs can't see that. And then she's like, no, but it's a component. It's necessary. And I understand. I can be extreme. I understand that every person is in their own stage of belief and thinking. And even the clients that she worked with, they might not believe in energy work so much. Who knows? So I totally understand that I also need to be more balanced that way. But having these experiences and had my own experiences, and for me, I just can't seem to get back to it, especially what I've heard about omega-3. That omega-3s, I don't know what you think about it, but there was this guy, Atom Bergstrom. You can look him up. He did a lot of research on omega-3 and he came up with this condition, lipofuscinosis, where basically omega-3 are rancid, already rancid.
Yeah.
And we are intaking it and the fats in our body are all yellow fat disease, as he calls it. And that actually gives rise to a lot of the problems in the long term. Omega-3, if it helps, it only helps in the short term. And you know what? I know this is a money-making business because I have been approached by so many people who are selling these supplements and telling me, you can make your life. You know, you just sell these supplements. We'll give you all the coaching. We'll give you all the money for marketing. You just do what we say and you can just make a living off just selling these supplements, affiliation. And I said, no. That is not right.
Yeah. Also, the ethicality comes into the picture. So we try never to recommend omega-3s to our clients. Because I think when we know it, we will do better.
Yeah. So Dr. Thomas Lodi was the one who actually told me about this. He's a cancer doctor. And he is a really, really good cancer doctor. And he does lives every single Sunday on his Instagram. And he did a whole thing about fish oil, omegas, all these things. And he was listing these studies that he was referencing where they create a huge problem. And he was like, keep the fish oils to the fish and all these things. And I actually have firsthand experience giving my son some of these things and having him react terribly with it felt like brain inflammation. And so like immediately stopped and was like questioning. And I was like, this is so strange. And then once I saw that he wrote that, it was like game over. I've never, you know, we get enough oils usually in the diets that we eat if we're eating a pretty good diet. Like,
yeah,
we get good oils. And if you're eating a balanced, you get some good omegas in there. It's going to be okay.
Yeah. And it's also funny because I am following some practitioners on Instagram and one of them said she is recommending omega-3 oils to her clients. And she says that I cannot take it myself because I break up into acne. And I'm like, then why are you even recommending it to other people? If it's doing harm to you, maybe it's not showing on the surface, but it may be doing harm to other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand that connection.
The fish oil is the next sneak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know, like, I feel like there's a huge amount of people who really love things like cod liver oil and stuff like that. But after seeing what happened in my son, I was like, and I know that they have had helped people with measles and things like that with the vast amount of vitamin A that it carries. But I would almost rather give like an herb or something that's really high in vitamin A or you know, maybe that could be where you short-term supplement something that's really high in vitamin A. But I've seen so much brain inflammation kind of characteristics, and even homeopaths have written about this. So then they give it in a homeopathic dose. They give cod liver oil as a homeopathic. And I'm like, maybe we just don't need it.
Yeah.
Maybe those kids just don't need it.
Yeah. Because I think omega-3, like the issues with a lot of oxidation that's coming because of the bad oils, industrial oils that we are using. It's an industrial oil issue at the base of it and not something like we really need to use these omega oils.
Yeah.
So that's what I think people need to understand.
So even when I was studying about, I was making a presentation about fats and cholesterol. When I was studying functional medicine. And at that point of time, I was so confused because they say that polyunsaturated fats, they break down very easily. And then omega-3 is one of them. It breaks down very easily with exposure to heat or air, right? Or light. And it just wasn't making sense. I was so confused. But then in the end, there was no explanation. So I thought, okay, let's go with it. Maybe I'm missing something. But then later on, when I heard that they add some certain chemicals to preserve it, yet it doesn't stop the degradation. It slows it down. Plus, on top of that, we are also ingesting that chemical. And then it goes through a heavy processing. And by the time the processing is over, it's already rancid. And maybe it's just preserved because of those things that they use, the chemicals that they use. So I feel that there is so much of damage being done. And I also have something, I also don't trust these sweeteners nowadays in the markets like erythritol and xylitol. I feel that maybe down the line, because a lot of like sorbitol and all these things were marked as safe once upon a time, maltitol. And eventually now there are studies regarding that they are unsafe. Yeah. And I'm sure that down the line, maybe these sweeteners also might be marked as unsafe. So I don't know what's happening, but at the end of the day, I think it's all very foundational. Just go with whatever nature has given us. It just makes more sense. Yeah.
Like we just do maple syrup and honey in my house, but even that is like, we'll eat dates and things like that. Like if I make a cake, it's like dates with nuts and like, you know, I wish that I would have had that when I was a kid. Like I remember the midwife coming over and I had made like natural Snickers or something like that to give her before my son was born. And she was like, he's going to have the best childhood ever. Cause it was like all natural, you know, like, and then there's a balance to it as well. Like, you know, not missing out on the fun kid stuff. Like he goes trick or treating and then we switch it out with like here in the United States, they do trick or treating for holidays or for Halloween. And he just knows this is toxic stuff, but I'm going to give you some stuff that's better.
Yeah,
we'll switch it. Yeah. So you don't miss hanging out with your friends, but we're not going to eat that garbage. So,
Actually, all that actually comes down to the parents, the teachings, and how well you are raising your child. Because whatever knowledge you never had, now you're giving that to your children. So I think that's the wisdom you're passing on to them and to their future generations. So you're doing the best job anyways.
I think that too, you know, parents that are just coming to this that are like, you know, holding any kind of guilt is what I see a lot too. Like they realize later that they did something like circumcision or they did things that they wish they wouldn't have done. And I just say like, listen, if we didn't know, and that's just part of the grand story of what you're meant to deal with then. Like if you had no knowledge, then how could you possibly, like, we can't feel bad for what we didn't know. And there's so many parents that come to me crying, wishing that they had chosen something different. And I just, you know, my son, I feel like when you were talking about choosing before you were born, I think he chose to come into this. I've seen this so many times and I've seen this when I've done like ayahuasca journeys and things that he came to experience a life that was very healthy. I obviously was meant to wake up from being very unhealthy, but I've had things come to me where it's like, get this out of his environment now, like get it out. He doesn't want, his soul does not want to be around toxicity. And so that's his path. You know, other kids who came in to be sick and clear from that, or even to be autistic for this length of time, you know, that's just their journey. We don't need to feel guilt or shame.
Yeah.
We all have our journeys. Our highest hills have already set forth. But it's so interesting that you also mentioned ayahuasca, and I think we might be even running out of time.
Yeah.
But we would love to cover these things. We would love to have you once again on the podcast. I think there's so many things that are still left out. Like we had to talk about gems and crystals, and now even the ayahuasca journey.
Yeah.
That'll be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm so grateful you guys had me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much,
Doctor.
It's so nice to have you, and we'll be seeing you again.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Bye.